Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me as we continue on in a message, A Choice of Two Paths. And we were looking at an entire chapter in 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, which describes how Jeroboam, the first king of the of Israel, if you would, the divided kingdom, how he came into power. It was by the word of the Lord through a prophet, and God gave him position of authority, and then he had a choice. And this is the fearsome thing that all of us, God has blessed all of us. He has given us understanding, but what we do with it is to me a very sobering and a very fearful thing, fearful in the sense of giving reverence to God, because to me one of the most horrifying and terrible scriptures, the reality of it is that there are those who prophesied in thy name, who did great and mighty wonderful works, and the Lord will say to them, depart from ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. To me, how is that possible? But unfortunately, there are those who have a form of godliness. They might say all the right words, but beloved, unless you have the discernment of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord does not withhold that. He wants us to ask, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And it is the Spirit of God that will let us know that which is of God and that which is not of God. And while it says in the Word of God, judge not, lest ye be judged, we can only, God knows the heart. We cannot judge a man or a woman's heart because we don't know them as God does, but we can judge the fruit. No bad tree can bring forth good fruit, or a good tree can't bring forth bad fruit. So we have to have Holy Ghost discernment. And God said in Isaiah 55 and 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And as we saw in the case of Jeroboam, he made not only an unwise decision listening to counsel, because it was important that he thought to retain his power, but had he walked pleasing to the Lord, what might have been the outcome? Because as immediately in chapter 13, an unnamed prophet comes to him and said, and prophesies of a son who is of the line of David, the house of David, by name. He names him by name, and he speaks to that altar, and he said, a priest, their men's bones will be burned upon thee. And he said, this altar will be rent. And immediately that happens, and he, of course, King Jeroboam gets very upset and says, lay hold on this man. And when he does that, his arm dries up, so he couldn't pull it again to him. And then he beseeches this man of God to pray, and he does, and he's restored. Now, you think this would perhaps give him pause to recant or renounce his ways, but he does not. And unfortunately, whenever his name is brought up, in subsequent passages, in terms of other kings, it says they followed in his ways, and his epitaph was, who made Israel to sin. And so he had an opportunity to serve God, but he chose the way that seemed right to him because of the things that he wanted. And so the unregenerated heart of man is deceitful and wicked. There's nothing but rebellion that comes out of an unyielded heart. And that, unfortunately, is actually the condition in some in the body of Christ, leaders, those who are sitting in churches, to know the God of deliverance, of power, of love, the giver of good things, is to have a revelation of God. And the Holy Spirit will reveal him in all of his glorious, magnificent beauty. anything that opposes the will of God and the working of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, listen to me, beloved, is presumption and rebellion. In verses 27 through 29, we find that Jeroboam devised a plan for his own selfish ends. He set up his golden calves, one in Bethel, the other in Dan. Why? Why did he do this? Because he was afraid the people would go to Jerusalem to worship. And then the hearts of the people would be disloyal. They would be turned from him to God and to Rehoboam. So what did he do? He established a religion that centered on his own personal honor and aggrandizement. His motives were for self. And beloved, we're just not talking about a historical king who lived, what, hundreds of years ago? I'm talking about the same motivation that can affect the hearts of men this very day. The devil has not changed, and he knows man very well. His motives, Jeroboam's motives, were for self, and beloved, for you and I, for every leader in the body of Christ, self is the destroyer of all that God wants for us. Self pushes the will of God aside. Self seeks its own praise, its own glory, its own honor. Self wants what it wants and when it wants it, right? instead of to feed on the moving of God or the Word of God, it desires to satisfy its own ego-centered desires. The pride of life, beloved, is the evil root of rebellion against God and what God wants. Listen to what John says. He says, I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. This is in the first epistle of John, the second chapter. And he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the things of our carnal nature, the lusts of the eyes, material possessions, the pride of life, power, fame, notoriety, it's not of the Father, but of the is of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God, there you have it, saints, abideth forever. The pride of life, beloved, and that is what causes so many to get tripped up. In verses 28, Jeroboam gave a very good, plausible reason why the children of Israel shouldn't go up to Jerusalem. He said, it's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. You just have, you know, that's too far for you to go. This is much more convenient. Why don't you just bring your offerings and sacrifice here? And you know what? Our human nature, our carnal nature, just loves to take the easy way, don't we? The easy way out. He pretended it was for their convenience and for their greater advantage that these golden gods were set up. He appealed to the self-desires of the people. Isn't that true? I mean, there are those today, oh, they'll say they're Christian, but oh no, they don't want to go to church. No, they were hurt, they were offended, and you know, they've only got Saturday and Sunday, and there's just not enough time in the week, and they just need to rest. That you name it, they can have all kinds of excuses. And how Satan appeals to us is he goes after that which is selfish and ego-centered. He speaks of the things that we want in our carnal nature. And out of a wicked and out of a carnal heart, Jeroboam established a religion that made mockers of God instead of servants of Jehovah. It was a religion of expediency, of self-promotion, and not of worship and sacrifice. And when we look at all God has done for us, and you might say, well, you know, in today's world, we'll have no other gods before us. Well, we don't bow down to golden idols. We don't, you know, we don't do things like we read about in the Bible. Well, we have our other idols. We're much more sophisticated. We're much more clever and polished. And so we have things like hobbies or sports, not that anything in that is wrong in itself. In fact, even ministries can become an idol. Are we so serving what we want to see established for God, our work for God? Or is it really to serve Him with humility of heart and do whatever He asks, even though it doesn't bring a lot of fame and notoriety? These are hard questions we need to ask ourselves. Jeroboam, in one evil act, declared that it was the gods of gold, can you imagine that, that brought them up out of Egypt. And David said in Psalm 106:20, "Thus they exchange their glory for the image of an ox that eats grass." Here, they exchange God's greatness, God's power, His holiness, His majesty, God's glory, which He had so generously covered them with, for the hard metal of golden calves. Well, beloved, my time is drawing to an end. I'd like to share a testimony that's coming recently. We'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. But this is from a sister writing they have a church in the San Joaquin Valley of California. And she says, "I must tell you, Sister Judith, I was so moved by your last letter that I almost went into tears. I told my church and my husband, there's no way she could have known the way I felt, except God showed it to you. You absolutely nailed it." I read the thank you for your letter I received today. Also, she says, "You seem as though you live in my bedroom with me. It's as though you're in my private time with God. Thank you for allowing God to use you. Not many people have such an intimate walk with God. I'm starting to feel more encouraged as I hear and read your living words from the mouth of God. Pray for us, and thanks again for your prayers and for listening with the ears of God." Beloved, if anyone is ever encouraged, if anyone is ever uplifted or inspired by what God gives me through the broadcasts or through the letters, the ministry of correspondence, but trust me, it is not me. It is only God's power. That's my heart's cry, beloved, is that He would minister to you. And I'm fully aware I have nothing, no resources in myself. If you're blessed, it's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need. We need to be a yielded people to allow the Spirit of God to flow through us, whether we're in a pulpit or whether we're in our homes or in the workplace. We need to be living light set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid. Amen. A city. The city of God. Amen. Well, my time is gone. I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for listening. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,